That's what Paul is saying. That more than anything else, right now as a restored person in Christ Jesus, I want to participate in the healing of the world and the work that Christ can do in changing people's lives. And he builds his life around this mission. And God's word calls us to build our life around that mission too. It's what Jesus tells us as he ascends. Go to all the nations and make disciples of all nations. Our meta-narrative. This is who we are. This is the mission we have been called into, no matter what our context is. I want to tell you a story about a woman named Antoinette Huff. She was a woman. I heard this story on NPR quite a while back. And she was a woman that was working at an elementary school in Georgia. And at that elementary school, this is about close to a year after the Sandy Hook shootings happened. And she's working at elementary school, and she has a large amount of brokenness in her life. She just found out in the weeks prior to this incident, she found out that her husband of 33 years had left her for another woman. She, minutes before this event that I'm going to tell you about happened, had found out that she just received a call that her car was being repossessed and she owed $15,000. She's a mother of a special needs kid that requires a ton of attention. And so she's sitting as an employee of the school. The secretary had stepped in. And so she's sitting at the desk for the secretary when a kid comes in with an AK-47 and over 500 rounds of ammunition and is firing shots around this elementary school. And she's sitting there as this happens with all that own brokenness that exists in her life. And the events that unfold made national news because she ministers to the shooter in that office in the name of Jesus Christ. And I want to read you one of the things that she said. What's amazing, you can actually listen to the 911 calls. They call 911, and you can overhear what she is saying to this shooter in the school. She says, "It's going to be all right, sweetie. I just want you to know that I love you, though, okay? And I'm proud of you. That's a good thing that you're just giving up, and don't worry about it. We all go through something in life." And over minutes and series of minutes, she shares with this shooter the love that she has experienced from God amidst her suffering and pain. And she sees in him someone that is deeply suffering, someone that is experiencing the fractured nature of this world. And she speaks to him where he's at from her own brokenness and pain. And I heard this on a story on NPR that's all about faith and really how faith interacts with people's lives. And she says during this interview that she is scared out of her mind. And all she can do in that time is to ask God, "What in the world do you want to do through me?" And she hardly remembers what she said because she believes that God was speaking the words through her. She believed that God had prepared her for that time, had been helping her to process all that pain so she could identify with the pain that was in someone that would want to shoot up an elementary school. And she goes through, and it's pretty amazing. She says, "I know God guides us. I know that God had prepared me for that moment. I wanted to be able to allow him to see that in spite of what he was doing, that God loved him. Because see, back when I was going through all the pain and hurt of my ex-husband and all the things that I was suffering through, God sent me people. At every moment when it was overwhelming, whether it was a phone call or whether it was someone that was meeting with me, just to say that I was loved and that I was noticed and that I was cared for." And it's a fantastic story, but it's an example of someone that understood the work that God was seeking to do in the world. And honestly, in a time of national conversation about how to arm schools and how to figure out how to shoot shooters before they shoot people, a woman was sitting there in that gap asking, "How can I love this kid? And how can I show him the love that God had extended to her?" What I want you to understand about how the gospel of God moves forward is that usually we receive these messages and we think, "Man, I got to go home and I got to come up with a huge list of stuff that now I have to go do." And what But I want you to hear in how Paul passionately was centered on the advancement of the gospel is that it starts with what's happening to you already. Your family. It starts in a conversation with your kids when something happens of saying, you know, this is what I know about what it means to follow Jesus. For me and my family, for us and our family, we follow Jesus, and so we act in the world differently than the world acts. That is a radical statement about how we believe the gospel advances and how God works differently. It starts in the workplace you're already at. Sometimes when you hear these messages, you think, oh my goodness, I got to run overseas and I got to be a missionary. That's what it means to be participating. You may, if you're getting that call, respond to that. But you are called right now to be a missionary in the context you're already at. And so this conversation about advancing the gospel of God, advancing the truth of Jesus Christ, starts with, why has God given me these talents in this field? Why are these co-workers the ones that I interact with this week? How do I have God's glasses? How do I see them as God sees them? How do I understand how God has put me in this place because He wants me to help His gospel advance in that workplace? How do I hear in the comments people are making the brokenness in what they're sharing? How do I take the initiative to invite someone over to dinner and to go and invite them to do things with me? How do I use the opportunities that I already have for lunch at work to have intentional conversations with those people I already talked to? Start with where you're at. Paul was able to see, no matter what happened to him, what God was doing. And he counted the purest joy as the opportunity to see God restoring the stuff and the people around him. And I think you know that's great joy. If you've experienced the joy that God has given you, there is nothing greater than seeing God work in the life of someone else that you're close to. May we be a church that is sold out to the advancement of the gospel of Jesus Christ because we believe it has the power to transform a broken and lost world. May we not be a church that is happy with being on the inside in our security and our comfort of being with other people that believe what we do, but may we see this as our launch pad, our sending place to infiltrate, to go out, to partner with the mission of God in our community and throughout the world. Let's pray together. Father, Paul was passionate about your gospel advancing. He was so passionate about it that he cared more that you were proclaimed than about his own health, about his imprisonment, and ultimately he cared more about your gospel being proclaimed than his own physical life. Father, may we understand that our life truly began when we were in you, and may we understand that that life never ends when we are in you. And in that sense, we don't even have to fear physical death at all. And Father, may we this week look at our life in our families, look at our life in our workplaces, look at our social life with our friends, and ask how you are calling us already where we're at in the time that we spend to see you and how you want to use us to proclaim your gospel, to claim your truth, to see brokenness restored, to see sinfulness forgiven, and to see your kingdom come and your will be done. In all this we pray in your name. Amen.